and be glad in it. That wonderful name. Colossians chapter 1. Would you open with me, please? Colossians chapter 1. Did you know that the Christian has a designer label? Some people like to wear their labels on the outside of their clothing. Generally, the labels are on the inside of the clothing. The Christian has a designer label. It's found in Colossians chapter 1 and verse, "And by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Here it is. Here it is. "All things were created by him and for him." All things were created by him and for him. If you reach around for that garment and look for that label, you find out who made it. If it's a piece of junk, or whether it's a well-made. There is a label that I would love for you to see this morning. It's a designer label, made by God, for God. Let's pray. Father, bless these moments and minutes. May they be productive and profitable. May they minister grace to the hearer. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who doesn't realize who made them and why they're here, I pray that it would be made clear. And I pray if there's someone here this morning who, for one reason or another, fails to appreciate who you are and what you're doing, they might once again see the God of creation and the God of glory. Thank you for your word. May it speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I saw the commercial some years ago. The lady says, "It ain't Hanes until I say it's Hanes." She looks around for the label on the underwear, and and she says it's okay. It meets her specifications. Then they can put the label on it. And we are very conscious today about designer labels. I'd like for us to think of something far, far, far more important today. Scientists at NASA have launched another space probe to the planet Mars. If all goes well, it will land safely in about 6 months and then deploy a mechanical land rover. And this land rover will explore the surface of the planet and send back information which they hope will determine, listen to me this morning, put your brain in low gear, we're going to go up a steep hill, to determine if there was ever life on the red planet. This rover has a number of sensors that receive data from the surrounding environment. Now, I don't believe they're going to find anything really significant. I'd be very surprised if they do. I don't think they are. I certainly don't think they're going to find any of those little green men we see in the movies. But scientists are inquisitive, and they will be monitoring the data and the information that the sensors receive. Now, NASA made the space probe. It was made by them and for them. Did you hear that? Are you with me? It was made by them and for them. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 tells us that we were made by God for God. Now this Land Rover, this mechanical marvel of NASA, is made with great care and launched at great expense. And it is now being watched with great anticipation. Do you think that after designing it, building it, launching it, the scientists at NASA will just forget about it? Come on, think with me. I know it's early on Sunday morning. It's supposed to be a day of rest, but not for our brain. Let's think a little bit. Do you think that NASA would design it, would build it, would make it, would launch it, and send it out there and just forget about it? Of course not. Let me ask you another question. Do you think that after designing you, making you, giving you birth, God has forgotten about you? Some 200 years ago in America, there was a popular religious movement called deism. Remember? Those of you from your history class, remember deism? And that was the idea that, yes, there's a God. But God is like a great big clockmaker or a watchmaker. He designs everything. He put all the balance wheels and everything in creation, and he got it all working together, and he wound it up. And then he went off somewhere to do other things. That's deism. That he's kind of maybe gotten a little bored and he's going on to make other stuff. I don't believe that for a moment. I don't believe that any more than I believe for a moment that the scientists at NASA forgot what they did. Or forgot that there is right now at this moment hurtling through space a space probe that will land on Mars and deploy a monitoring device, a Land Rover. I don't believe for a moment that God has forgotten us. Do you think that God has forgotten you? Do you think that he just checks your charts, you know, once a month or once a week, or like the doctor in the hospital? He makes his daily rounds and looks at your chart and checks your blood pressure, your spiritual blood pressure. You think he just does it every once in a while and looks at that and it goes on? Is that what you think God is? Do you think for a moment that that's what God does? That God is just going to come back once in a while and check on you? Wow, that's a variation of deism. That he's got other things. He's got other patients to take care of, maybe that are more important than you, more in more serious condition than. Is that what we think? I wonder. Do you think he comes by once in a while and he looks at your chart and just goes his way? That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God knows when the sparrow falls. Psalm 139 tells us very clearly that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. I want us to look at an interesting verse I came across this week. Proverbs chapter 20. And verse 12. Look at it. The hearing ear and the seeing eye the Lord hath made even both of them. Wow. Look at it again. The hearing ear and the seeing eye the Lord hath made even both of them. You see, the hearing ear and the seeing eye are sensors. They are receivers. They are. We have at least five senses. When God made us, when God designed us, He included five sensors. We call them senses, but what they are sensors. So we can have some sense of our environment and where we are. They are receivers. And the simple thought, and it's a very simple thought this morning, that I would like for us all to carry away from this place, and for us to ponder and think about, Selah, think about it, to think about it. Man was made to be a receiver. The ear and the eye are more complex than anything NASA has ever or ever will produce. Anyone who knows anything about the complexity of the eye as a system of laws has to just stand in awe at the genius of its design. I want you to think about the intelligent design of life. You see, seeing and hearing are ends, not beginnings. There's a means and then there's an end. Are you with me? There's everything. There's a means and there's an end. And if you look at the verse in Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 12, it doesn't just say the ear and the eye were made of the Lord. It says the hearing ear and the seeing eye. And there's a big difference. It's like the den of lions and the lion's den. There's a difference. This is a seeing eye and a hearing ear. These are receivers. These are sensors that enable us to know our environment. God made us with intelligent design. He has given us sensors for seeing and hearing, and these are ends, not the beginnings. They're for a purpose. Saying, well, that's obvious. Well, I'm not so sure it's that obvious. There's the ear, and the purpose or the end of that is the hearing. Then there's the eye, and the end or the purpose of that is for the seeing. And I would ask you, why did God give you eyes, and why did God give you ears? So that you could see and you could hear. Well, maybe there's more to it than that. There is an intelligent design evident everywhere in creation. God is a God of order. These two complex systems reveal something about a reasoning intelligence behind the order of design. You know, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. God put those up there for us to think. It declares his glory. And of course, there's a little bit more than that as well. We're all living in the middle of a big clock. Did you know that? You and I are in the middle of a big clock. Talk about a clockmaker. Most people don't realize it. Doesn't have hour hands and minute hands. It has an earth that rotates once every 24 hours. it has a world that travels around the sun every 365 days. It has a moon that goes through the phases every 28 days. We're in the middle of a big clock. And for some of us, time is running out and we don't know it. The scientists that sent a probe to discover something on the planet of Mars have some reason for doing so. Likewise, God Almighty has some reason for making you and making me and then giving us these sensors, these receivers. Those who believe in evolution and wish to give nature credit for what God has done may just as well believe that their house developed a roof to keep the rain out, and it grew window panes to let the sunlight in. You say that's absurd. Yes, it is. And evolution is absurd. Evolution is absolutely absurd. You have only to examine the complexity of the human eye and see how absurd it is. You have only to examine the complexity and the marvel of the inner ear to see how absurd the idea of evolution is. Why? It says the seeing eye. You see, there's an end. There's a purpose for the eye. That demands a design and intelligence. You don't just make an eye and say, what am I going to do with this thing? I don't know. What can we do with it? No, it's a seeing eye. And there was an end in mind. Before there was a lens, before there was a pupil, before there was a retina, before there was an iris, and all of these things were gathered together, there was a purpose. It's a seeing eye. Are you with me? How can anybody teach or believe in evolution? It's absurd. And all of these complex systems that are otherwise unrelated come together and are brought together for a purpose. It's a seeing eye. The very laws of refraction, working themselves out within the confines of the universe of the eye, is a marvel. Those laws of refraction will require a lens, a surface on which light may focus, a means of which interpreting the data that it receives. Ladies and gentlemen, all things were made by him and for him. You are a marvel of creation. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And there are some who got halfway through that. And they say, I don't believe in evolution. I believe I was made by him. The Bible says that he who doesn't believe in God is a fool. And I'm no fool. I believe in God. Well, that's okay. As far as it goes, we're made by him. You're only halfway there. Until you discover we're also made for him. We are designed by God to be receivers. The hearing ear and the seeing eye are an intelligent arrangement of otherwise unrelated laws, systems, chemical, electrical, biological components working together to collect intelligent data to be used intelligently for some design purpose or intent. Do you think that the scientists in NASA are more intelligent than God? Do you think if they have some reason or some purpose to send a probe out into outer space and land on Mars, that God doesn't have a greater purpose for putting us here? There it is in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12. Look at it again. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. The Bible says, God is light. Is it any wonder that he who is called light made the eye. He wants you to know him. He is light. He wants you to know him. And so he makes this thing called an eye. Or else you wouldn't see the light. Oh, how intelligent God is. And how dull and dense we are sometimes. Jesus called himself the Word. Is it any wonder that the Word made this thing called the ear to hear? Is it any wonder that he who is called the Word designed and made and created an ear to hear? To hear what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God designed Adam in the garden with five sensors. Or receivers, if you will. These five sensors, or what we call senses, are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And last week we saw Bartimaeus sitting down on the roadside with one of his important sensors broken. He was blind. And we saw him last week having a broken sensor of sight, unable to see. But in the very next verse, you remember, in Mark chapter 10, although he couldn't see, he could hear. Not all of his sensors were broken. God leaves us with at least some sense so that we can find him, so that we can know him. And Bartimaeus heard a commotion coming down the Jericho road, and he said, "What does it mean? What does it mean?" He wanted to know. And I am astounded at how many people go through life and never ask the question, "What does it mean?" And all the while, God made us with five sensors. To taste, to touch, to smell, to feel, to see. But we never ask, what does it mean? There are scientists in NASA right now who are prepared to look at the data that they will receive from this Land Rover as it sends the information back with its sensors and from its receiver, and they want to know, what does it mean? To spend millions of dollars to answer those questions as they look at the red clay of the planet Mars. They're looking for water and looking for microbes. They're looking for all kinds of stuff, and they're going to be asking the question, what does it mean? One of the things we would love to be able to do in any Bible-believing church is to get somebody to the place where they come to sit on the side of the road of Jericho next to Bartimaeus and ask the question, what does it mean? Are all of our sensors broken? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We go through life and we taste everything else, and some things are so bitter.
And God is crying out, saying, "I've given you a censer to find me and know me, taste and see that the Lord is good."
Have you tasted yet? Oh, it's true, he is good. Jesus said, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and once you've tasted that the Lord is good, nothing in this world tastes the same." He's given us the feeling of touch, and he wants us to touch him. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what it feels like and what you're going through. He's touched with the feeling of it. And so all of these sensors are not foreign to God. He knows exactly what they are. The truth of the matter is, what you see, He sees. That's why we need to be careful what we look at. See, these scientists know what the little, what do you call it, little buggy, little Land Rover, the scientist knows what it's looking at, and they can direct that little, camera, and they'll look, oh, look at the little rock over here, and let's look at this little thing over here, and then, oh, wait a minute, let's look over here, and the scientists are peering into a monitor, they're peering into a TV screen, and they're watching everything that this thing is watching. You got me? Are you with me? Go like this. All right. Do you think that God made you, made the eye, gave you these sensors, and He doesn't know what you're looking at? Where do you think these signals go? Oh, they just go to my brain and they just kind of stay there. You're thinking too small. See, all things were made by Him and what? For Him. Oh no, it was made for me. See, what I look at is my business. Oh, if you only knew. What you look at is God's business. That's what Judgment Day is all about. Everything you look at, God looks at. That's why the psalmist said, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. That's why Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a maid. Why? You see, everything that you see, it's not a secret. Moses looked to the right, Moses looked to the left before he killed a man, remember? Do you remember? And then he committed murder and he buried him in the sand. The only thing he didn't realize is he had these sensors, and there's connected to those sensors an omnipotent, omniscient God who's watching everything Moses does. Watching him as he digs the hole. Watching him as he buries and lowers the body. You didn't know that? That God knows everything you're looking at because He's looking at it when you look at it. He knows everything you're hearing because He's hearing it when you're hearing it. He's given us sensors. He's not left us to our own devices and designs. He knows exactly what we're doing. I'm not saying we're mechanical little rovers, but we're much more wonderfully made than that. But all of this data, all of this information is directly connected somewhere far beyond the sin-cursed world. And if we knew that, we would be careful what we look at. We'd be careful where we go. We'd be careful what we do. Because God has built us with five sensors, and who do you think is monitoring? Oh, nobody? Nobody is in the laboratory at NASA. They all went on vacation. They all went to lunch. Nobody's monitoring. You know they are. Somebody is looking at that screen right now. Who do you think is monitoring what we look at, what we hear, what we taste, what we touch? Nobody's monitoring it. All things were made by evolution and for myself. No, all things were made by God for God. We have been made and designed to be receivers. That's the simple lesson this morning. You are a receiver. And poor Bartimaeus had one of his receivers broken. And he sat by the wayside begging. He was not even in the way anymore. There are lots of people we saw last week that are in the way. I mean, they're going and they are coming and they are moving and they are shaking. They're going places. Bartimaeus was not even going places anymore. The Bible said he was no longer in the way. He was on the wayside. Broken down. Sooner or later, God wants to realize that something happened to our sensors. And we've lost our senses. That's what sin has done. Sin has caused us to lose our senses. What do you mean? You see, even the evolutionist, even the psychiatrist, even the psychologist, even the doctor who recognizes the five senses in biology, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, seeing. And recognizes these five senses. They have a suspicion that there's another sense. They call it the sixth sense. Because we don't know what to call it. So we say the person has a sixth sense. They call it, that what they usually mean is a kind of intuition, don't they? You know, to add, they know there's something missing, and so they call it the sixth sense. That's like the Greeks that Paul met that made an altar to the unknown God. They had a suspicion that their puny little gods made by man were not enough, and so they made this altar. They didn't know what to call him, so they called him the unknown God. They had a sense that there was more than Aphrodite. They had a suspicion that there was more than Mars. They had a suspicion that there was more than Jupiter. And so they built an altar to an unknown god, just in case. And mere mortal men have a suspicion that there's another sense. So they call it the sixth sense. Intuition. Paul in the Bible tells us that this unexplainable thing that is missing, this sixth sense that people try to describe, is really the spiritual sensor. And that was broken in the garden when man sinned. See, originally God made man with six senses. He could see. He could hear, he could smell, he could touch. What a marvel of creation was man. And then the Bible says that God stooped down and breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Wow, what a marvel. But when Adam sinned, God's prediction came true. The day that thou sinnest, thou shalt surely die. And the devil came along and said, I don't believe that. You're not going to die. He's being bellow dramatic. You're not going to die. Matter of fact, you're going to be like God. You're going to be like he is. And Eve believed that. And when she sinned, and Adam sinned, you might say, well, they say they didn't die. They're still breathing and smelling and looking and tasting and touching. But the sixth sense died. See, God made us to be receivers. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians, please. We're coming to the home stretch. I hope that your thinking, made by God for God, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Take a look at verse 8. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. Did I get the wrong verse? Yep. I sure did. 1 Corinthians. See, I have no sense this morning. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the thing which God hath prepared for them that love him. There are the sensors there, the eye and the heart of it. This goes, what God's plan and purposes goes beyond what those physical senses can understand. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Remember these sensors on the little Land Rover on Mars? They're searching around, you know, they're looking, they're sensing for the, God made us with sensors that we might know Him, but because of sin, the sensors are damaged and the one important sensor is broken. Say, the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. What's that mean? Look at it. But the natural man receiveth not. You see, you're a receiver. God made you as a receiver. And it's a horrible thing if the receiver is not working. And the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's broken. Sin broke it. Sin broke it. And there are people that are going through this world as blind as Bartimaeus, groping around, not realizing who made them or why they were made, because their receiver is broken. John chapter 1. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know, that's pretty bad, especially if God made you to be a receiver. I mean, especially if God made you to be a receiver, that's pretty bad. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. See, sin breaks the receiver. Ah. But Jesus Christ came to fix it. There are some people down in NASA saying, you know, if we had known that there was a damage to the space shuttle, maybe we could have gone up and saved those astronauts. I kind of wish that they could have and would have thought about it. And wouldn't it be wonderful if they did? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if they had launched the second space shuttle and somehow realized that there was a damage and they repaired it? Wouldn't that be wonderful? We'd be so happy. They didn't do it. But people are broken. And God sent His Son to seek and to save that which is lost. To fix it. And the only way He could fix it was to go to the cross and die there for your sins. That's God's plan. That you might know Him. But then John goes on to say, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How can the receiver be fixed? So you can finally have your senses and realize that you are not an accident. You were made by him for him. How can you get that receiver fixed? Receive Jesus Christ. And the moment you receive Him, it's fixed. And now God speaks and you hear. And now God shines and you see. And now God touches and you feel. And now you're able to taste and know that God is good. Because your receivers are working. Don't go out of here this morning still broken, not realizing that you were that you were made to be a receiver. Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let Him fix your heart. Then He'll fix your life. All things were made by Him and for Him. Let's sing number one, number 306 in our hymn book. If you're here this morning and you sense that sensor is broken, God is working on it right now. It's called conviction. If you sense that that sensor is calling you to God, I call you right now this morning to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Receive Him. That's why He made you, to be a receiver. Receive Him this morning. We're going to stand and sing number 306, Just As I Am, with that one plea. And if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we want to pray with you. Let's stand to our feet as we sing number 306.